I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of The Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
A Ronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
Scottie Scheffler wins in a runaway in the showdown at Charlotte.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
I just got off the golf course. I don't know what you want from me.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
Playing number one on this tour, champ.
And Brandon Sprague.
You smell like my stepfather.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Oh, no, not again.
Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. That's 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. A little bit of a fast break Friday, flop shot Friday, and it's obviously going to be a football Friday. We got the NFL schedule release. We're about to talk some college football with a great guest. But before we do, I want to remind you that you can join us June 23rd as Toyota presents the Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. The afternoon round is sold out, and there's five or less rounds, I think, available in the morning. So you're going to have to sign up now at 1051thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo. We'll all be eating Matt's barbecue out there, so we're looking forward to a great meal. And the Fan will be hanging out on the infamous Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. The Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is also brought to you by Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, George McCoy, Warren Allen Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dope Belt Tequila, your neighborhood restaurant group, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, and Ely Gal Mezcal Window Nation. Shout out to all our great sponsors.
Can't wait.
We'll get to some NFL schedule release stuff. But before we do, we thought, this story's kind of been the story of the week in the sport of college football, along with the 24-team expansion. So let's go down to Oxford, Mississippi. Ole Miss football, the host of the Ole Miss Locked On podcast, Stephen Wilson, on Twitter, at the Stephen Willis. Excuse me, not Wilson, Willis. My apologies there. He is great. I've been watching his content all week, so I'm excited to have him on. Good morning, Stephen. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. I can only assume you want to talk about the backup cornerback position coming out of spring.
It was either the backup quarterback, Steven, or racism. I didn't know where
Hey, don't forget
this.
Basket weaving. Do you know how to basket weave, yeah. Steven? We need to know.
Six of one, half a dozen of another, right?
Yeah. Well, let's start because we're not in the SEC out here, right? We have a Pac-12 team and a Big Ten team, but we love following the SEC drama, and it's been quite a week for drama in that conference. We've had Sankey comments on the expansion. You got Sark taking shots. The Lane Kiffin one, it feels like you kind of have a similar sentiment as us, but like from outside looking in, his comment of like, this is actually why I left, racism, it was just like, or it wasn't the $91 million. Like, what are we doing here with the Lane Kiffin stuff? It went from what seemed like maybe a fun kind of personal thing to now it feels like that primetime game, Stephen, is going to be very hostile in a way that maybe we haven't seen at Oxford before.
Yeah, when they announced it was a night game, there was a funny tweet by the Oxford Police Department of like the office, Daryl just going, yay, you know. it was really funny. That night is going to be quite entertaining. Listen, this whole situation is weird because Ole Miss in particular has been a punching bag, a lightning rod for this issue for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And they earned that. But part of that is they now own it, and they own their history, and they work to make themselves better. They're very sensitive about this topic because of how much they have done. The rest of the SEC basically stopped in 1962, clapped their hands together and said, okay, we're done. Everything's all good. Ole Miss continued to get better and continue to build. And I think that is something that Mississippians in general can be really proud of is the fact that they're just not standing still on their laurels. Mm. And my point is, the same people are in every place around the Southeastern Conference. There's not a single place that is worse or better than the other one. And I think in a situation to where you've tried to improve and tried to better yourself, that's actually a thing that you need to brag about. And whenever somebody else tries to use that against you, you actually have the receipts that you can point out and say, hey, wait a second, wait a second. We've been working on this for three decades. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
That is where I'm coming from on this.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective to have. Now, I'm curious because I saw, I think it was Bomani Jones did a feature piece on Chambliss and asked his family, like, hey, was this ever something that came up? And it was an immediate no. Like, you, I'm assuming you've been around the program a long time. I was like, is this something that you actually hear from recruits? Did Lane Kiffin pull this out of his rear end to try and, like he always does, make himself look like the victim in this case?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit. Now, I don't want to say he never heard it because odds are, I mean, it's a school in the Deep South. Somebody might have had that reservation. You don't know. But overall, I talked to somebody high up in the Ole Miss Athletic Department that deals with NIL. Lane Kiffin did not complain about that issue one time in 6 years at Ole Miss. He complained about the stadium size,
Sure. The
athletic facilities, the students leading him in the fourth quarter. But he did not complain about that. And so that makes me kind of lean to the area that he was doing something self-serving with that. It was a calculated thing.
Mm, yeah, we're talking with Stephen Wills here, host of the Locked On Ole Miss podcast. Busy week for Ole Miss. So Lane takes the easy get out of, like, it's Ole Miss's fault. They're this way. So I had to leave for more money at LSU. I'm curious, why did Steve Sarkisian decide to step in then? Like, Lane Kiffin's comments are not resonating very well. Everybody's kind of talking about it. And then, like, within the same breath, Steve Sarkisian steps in and starts talking about basket weaving. Where did that come from?
He kind of wonders when everybody that was on the same staff at USC is taking shots at Ole Miss randomly. Sarkisian, Kiffin, Ed Orgeron did it. It's kind of weird that all these guys that are friends all of a sudden are saying, hey, this is wrong, and let's pick out this random school. Hey, let's go at Ole Miss about this. Yeah. That stuff amuses me because, listen, as a Mississippian, as somebody that a long time, whenever this issue comes up, you kind of go, okay, here we go again. But this time, for the first time, the whole country is going against Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is like, hey, honestly, this is going to sound really weird. It doesn't feel like Ole Miss has made it, but it kind of feels like Ole Miss has gotten back to zero to where they can start continuing to get better to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the long time, it felt like that hole was so deep that you just were never going to get out.
Hmm. That's a great point. Like, when you look at that game that's going to happen in Oxford, I would be willing to bet like 85% of the country is going to be rooting for Ole Miss to win that game because Lane Kiffin has become so unlikable in this entire process. Now, let me ask you an actual football question. I'm just curious, like, last year, you go on the surprising run, and Lane leaves and say, like, how's this team going to survive without a head coach? Beat Georgia. Oh, my God. You push Miami all the way to the brink. Like, you're on – I know there was a Tulane game in there, too, but it was expected to win. And you're a couple plays away from going to a national championship. How does this team profile compared to last year's?
Mm-hmm.
And how big is the addition or I guess, re-addition of Chambliss and now knowing he's going to be eligible and available for another season?
If you look at the talent that is coming back to Ole Miss, this is a top five roster. And the question becomes, can Pete Golding do what he did in the playoffs in regular season after he's had time up there? Can John David Baker, who was the co-offensive coordinator until 2023 at Ole Miss with Charlie Weiss Jr., so it's the same offense. Everything's going to look identical. You have potentially the top quarterback in college football. You have potentially the top running back in college football. They rebuilt the back end of the defense through the transfer portal, finished number two in the 24/7 transfer portal rankings. The expectation for this Ole Miss team is to make the playoffs. With or without Lane, and you are supposed to make the playoffs this year. This was supposed to be the year, if everybody came back, that you really competed. Last year was the transition year. So I'm curious. You have a quarterback in Trinidad, though. He has a chance to have a Baker Mayfield type impact. It's those transcendent quarterbacks. You guys had that with like Marcus Mariota in Oregon and stuff like that. That is going to be a plus one win total. So the SEC is going to 9 conference games this year. So that's going to be difficult. Ole Miss's schedule is going to be more difficult than it was a year ago, but this is going to be a more talented team than what they had a year ago as well. So they might not make the playoffs, but the expectation should be to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Do you like the 24-team expansion conversation happening? I know Sankey seems to be a little against it. He wants 16, but it does feel like all the other commissioners seem to be in favor. Coaches, even, in the SEC. I know Kirby came out and supported it, and that's a pretty big name to have behind it. Where are you at on the 24-team college football playoff expansion?
I'm all about the 24-team college football playoff because – I don't know that there's a reality that Ole Miss becomes a major player in the 12-team playoff. Mm. But Ole Miss could become a perennial 24-team playoff team.
Yeah.
And that helps schools like Ole Miss, like Mississippi State, like Arkansas, the second tier. Now, it doesn't help Georgia. It doesn't help Alabama. It doesn't help schools like that. And whenever people say the SEC, that's what they're talking about.
Right.
But schools like Ole Miss and the second tier of what's going on, that they are pretty much all in favor of the 2014 playoff because it helps that school individually.
Yeah, especially now with 9 conference games, and you got to play the bonus non-conference Power 5 games. So you got 10, or Power 4, I guess it is now, 10 Power 4 games. Let me ask you this. It is, the end of September. LSU's in town. We all know it's a primetime game. Game day is there. What are we looking like for average get-in ticket price that night? What's your ballpark in your head?
That's a good question.
It's already on game time. It's $500 to get in right now.
Yeah. Only going to go up.
Listen, I don't know that there's been a more anticipated college football game since maybe the rematch of Catholics versus Convicts. Something like that. This is going to be ridiculous. And the hilarious thing is, to me, Lane Kiffin put it out. It's like, do not compare us to Ole Miss in year one. Do not talk about that. He doesn't expect to win this ballgame. Mm-hmm. And you could tell after 6 years of Lane Kiffin, you can kind of translate what he's doing and how he's acting. And this is a coach that doesn't think he's going to win that game. He's trying to soften the landing when it does. And if that happens, if you get through there, LSU has a real chance of being 1-3 at the end of September, and I just want to see what that mushroom cloud looks like.
Oh, that would be delightful. Stephen Willis does a good job hosting the Locked On Ole Miss podcast. Joining us this morning is Lane Kiffin's comments regarding Ole Miss, Steve Sarkisian jumping into the fray, Summerall defending Ole Miss to a certain extent down there in Florida because he coached there at one time. It's going to be fascinating, man. There's never an offseason in college football. Stephen Willis on Twitter, at the Stephen Willis. Thanks so much for hopping on with us this morning, Stephen. We appreciate the time.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Stephen Willis down there in Oxford on the Lane Kiffin. I love the quote, never in 6 years in the NIL department did he complain about race issues one time. Stadium, fans leaving early.
He wanted a bigger NIL budget. He complained about that constantly.
Yeah, well, it's weird. He goes to LSU. What's bigger at LSU probably than Ole Miss? The NIL budget.
That's why he took the job.
That's
all you got to say. It's so easy. I used the LIV Golf example last week. And I think it's earlier this week, whenever it was. I think it's spot on. It's guys saying, I wanted to spend more time with my family. That's why I went to play with LIV. It's like, no, it's not. They gave you $100 million. That's why you went to go play on LIV.
I want to ask you, do you think, so there was obviously a lot of traction with the Lane comments this week.
Yeah.
And then Steve Sarkisian just jumping in to make the attention about him. I almost wonder, did he just say that so he could instantly have his name?
He's just being jealous. Why is anybody talking about Texas?
Lane again? Oh, dominated about the news cycle already.
I'm forgetting about the Longhorns.
If Kiffin just says what we all know, like if they're like, why did you leave Ole Miss, a playoff team that made the semifinal for LSU when you did? If Kiffin just goes dirt, did you see the contract? Do we talk about it much?
No.
Or do we go, oh, Mike, can you believe he admitted this? Or do we just go,
no,
hey, look at some honesty.
I think we would say, appreciate the honesty, Lane. Yeah, sounds about right. You left because it's a place that's won multiple national championships with multiple head coaches. They've won one with Ed Orgeron.
Yep.
They won one with Les Miles. Mm-hmm. They won one with Nick Saban. That's this century. They've won three titles with three different coaches.
Yeah.
It's a team that has as big of a budget for NIL and spending on roster as anywhere in the entire sport, maybe the most in the entire sport. That's how wealthy they are. It's got a huge alumni base. You got one of the nicest, loudest stadiums in the country. Like, it's one of the most revered, respected programs in all of college football. That's why I left. They paid me $91 million to come to a place where they've won three national titles, and Ole Miss has never won one in the modern era. And they didn't have $91 million to pay me. That's why I left.
Stuart Mandel has a piece on The Athletic about basically the 24-team college football playoff destroying the soul of the sport. And I don't have to agree with all the opinions to say I get the point. I totally do. And you know me, I'm not the biggest 24-team thing, but I think that's kind of where this is headed, even though Sankey wants 16.
Every other conference has now come out publicly supported a 2014 playoff.
So is Notre Dame.
So is Notre Dame.
And that's an important one because their AD is basically a pseudo-commissioner of that sport. I find it interesting that we're writing pieces like this, or people are emailing people like Stuart Mandel of this soul of the sport is leaving. And I understand where it was for people in that sport around the country. The idea that none of this was written or said out loud when the Pac-12 was literally killed, it kind of makes my blood boil a little bit.
I can see that, and I don't understand why.
I'm not begrudging any teams. I understand the big money business of this stuff. It's like these teams all left for their financial futures. SC did it. UCLA did it because they went to the Big Ten and got a full share.
Yep.
Oregon and Washington were kind of looking at this like, yo, what are we going to do? Let's go get a better share. All the other teams that went to the Big 12, I get it. This is just like, for me, it makes my blood boil that now the soul of the sport is in jeopardy.
Now it's gone.
We had a Power 5 conference literally blown up and ceased to exist that existed forever.
Yeah.
And gave us some of our best memories in the sport, some of the best teams in the sport. Hell, the baseball in the Big Ten is making that conference respected because of that former conference.
Yeah.
So I kind of laugh, but also get frustrated when we're like, the soul of the sport will cease to exist if they go to 24. Mike Greenberg, they're going to sit guys in Ohio State and Michigan games now. I'm like, you think they're going to sit guys in that game? It's like, we literally watched them kill our West Coast conference and make all these teams have to go to these dumb conferences.
A regional conference died.
Where was the think pieces on that?
On the soul of the sport being lost.
That's
and all
when
of
the soul died.
When USC and UCLA left, or when it all started with Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, in honesty, because that led to the dominoes falling of the Big Ten feeling like they needed to make a move. I'm with you 100%. I still miss the Pac-12 to this day. I understand the finances of why Oregon did what they did, and for a long-term vision, it was unquestionably the right call. But if you gave me a wish to go back and say, how would I draw this up? I would have the Pac-12 put back together and play in a regional conference that we've always played in against teams we've always played against. With history and tradition and easy to travel to the games and they're close by, it just to lose that, it still genuinely sucks in the sport, and I totally get why that's the perspective. I also just chuckle at the idea of it kills the soul of the sport because I think our guest just highlighted how that's not the case, man. Like,
he wants his team to have a shot.
We're talking about you have to parcel through who you're talking about in these debates. Does it lessen the impact of the regular season for Georgia? Yeah, because Georgia's going to be in a 24-team college football playoff every year. Mm-hmm. Does it lessen it for go down Texas, Oregon, Ohio State? Like, go down the list of teams. Like, yeah, it's going to lessen it because you could be 9-3 and guaranteed a spot in the playoff every year. And sure, some of the regular season won't feel like it meant the way that it used to mean.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means a ton more to some of these programs who don't have a legitimate shot at getting to a 12-team playoff don't feel like that pathway is there for them. And all of a sudden, their games matter more and mean more at the end of the regular season. And so if you're going to highlight one negative end of the spectrum, you also have to highlight the positive of the other side of it.
Yeah, he comps the 2014 playoff to the movie Don't Look Up. It's basically where the piece goes there. So you can go read that if you want on The Athletic. But good stuff from Stephen Willis on the fallout of Lane Kiffin and his comments regarding Ole Miss. We got the NFL schedule release. Let's dive into some of the schedule release stuff, including the teams that aren't on primetime, and the team did it. They leaned into what everybody thought they would. We'll talk about that coming up next. Hour 2 rolls on Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze. Let's love.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan. Talk a little NBA playoffs coming up here. Got a pretty big Spurs-Wolves game tonight.
Oh!
Be watching it in the middle of the woods.
Oh, you're going camping this weekend? Where are you going?
It's not camping.
Okay.
We have a cabin.
We're going, okay, cabin.
Yeah.
On Mount Hood, where we stand.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The weather looks like it's going to be nice.
Guess what we didn't click? Refundable. It's a non-refundable situation that we tried to cancel
on
Wednesday.
Have, do they have, like, electricity and stuff at
this
cabin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
no,
it's like
dude,
a modern-era cabin.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Got Wi-Fi.
I got Wi-Fi.
It might have an electric car charger
there. You got
there.
It. There you go. That's all you need.
We're not deep in the middle of nowhere
here. As long as you give me a covered patio if it's raining, I go sit out there, enjoy
a
cup of joe.
Put me inside. Yeah, what are you doing? I'm going to be out. It's going to be 50 degrees in rain.
Go smell the pines, man. You're up on the mountain.
Smell the pines at my house. There's trees everywhere.
Look for the lions and the bears.
In a desert?
Where are they running around? Hey, bears.
Hey, bear.
Hey, Smokey.
Nothing to do with that. We'll get to the NBA playoff conversation. We'll give you an update on the PGA Championship at some point. But the NFL schedule full release was out. Is it odd to you? And we got audio we're going to play you here. But
yeah.
Is it odd to you the way that they do the NFL schedule where it's like leak, 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 leak?
Not odd at all. I think they know
and
exactly.
And then full schedule release?
I think they know exactly what they're doing. We are so desperate for football this time of year. Like, our football itch is starting to itch. We just had the draft, and they know with all of the leaks and the slow bleed, how it extends the headlines day after day after day. How many segments have we done now?
Oh, yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yes.
On some ballpark of the schedule release.
You're not wrong to point that out.
International game schedule. Right, yeah. Opening game. We did it when we even got the opening game wrong. And then had to do another segment yesterday on a new opening game.
Turns out that was the opening game. Patriots-Seahawks is the opening game.
The actual opening game.
Yeah,
so I think they know what they're doing. I think they just they love bleeding this out. The NFL loves doing whatever they can to get as many eyeballs and ears and attention as they can in the offseason, and nothing highlights that more than their schedule release.
So the schedule releases are out. I pulled the first 20 so seconds of the Seahawks. I saw the Seahawk one, and they kind of went like cologne commercial type vibe.
I had not seen theirs until you pointed it out. That was pretty funny.
Very interesting.
Yes.
I always find like what the teams decide to do. The Titans, for example, walked around and just found random people on the streets of Nashville. And if they looked like somebody on the schedule, they would basically introduce themselves. And
it was
then
really
the person would turn around and they'd comp the photo. So, like, the first person they get is Woody Johnson-like guy.
Some old guy with sunglasses on. Woody, is that you?
The Chargers did the Halo game.
Chargers are usually the winners of this. Their social teams are pretty undefeated over the years.
And the Raiders did exactly what we predicted they would do. They leaned into the Step Brothers thing.
They did.
With Kirkers and Fernando.
Yes, they are the Step Brothers. The audio of it was funny. The Titans one, the best one was at the end. I think they were asking for Jerry Jones. They thought it was some old guy who was clearly just on vacation in Nashville. And then the microphone picks him up saying, "No, I'm from the UK, mate." And he's like just some guy from London, England over here visiting. They thinking he looks like Jerry Jones. There were a few good ones, a few bad ones. The one that I had the biggest beef with.
What was your bad ones?
Because
I don't watch all 32.
I had
not
seen all of them. It's too much, dude. I don't have enough time to watch all of these. Like, it's insane how long a lot of them are. Like, come on, man.
So you gave that take off the show before we started, and I agree with you. It's why I don't seek out all 32. We're talking, like, some of these are 7-8 minutes.
Yeah, it's too long.
And that's not, like, all of my time in my day, but I'm like, do I really want to watch... You tell me you play the Cardinals and the Bears and the Texans. Like, I don't know if I care that much.
No.
Because I'm going to forget it anyway. So, yeah, I agree with the take. These videos are too long. Back to our commencement speech.
It's too long. Make it 3 minutes, quick and easy, so I can watch it and laugh and get a good chuckle and move on to the
next
one.
I agree with you.
The Chargers one was great, but again, it was
long. It's too lengthy.
And there's stuff in there, like, I appreciate the levels of creativity, but if I'm not picking up, I'm not going to go back and watch it. Like, the Chargers are so creative that there's little nuance. It's like watching a Christopher Nolan movie twice. Like, what happened in Inception? You got to, like, pause it and get a screen grab to be like, ooh, they made fun of that. It doesn't, like, that's, you're making it a little too complicated. That's right. My beef. The one that I didn't see that everybody made fun of was the Cardinals. I did not see the Cardinals, but a lot of people said theirs was the worst. The two biggest beefs I had, one was, did you see the Jets and what they did?
I missed the Jet one.
So the Jets did a thing where you basically have the, you know how you see those like paint videos where the three different colors make one color? So they did that for every opponent where they'd have like blotches of colors at the top. And then, you know, somebody on the screen would mix the colors together and then they'd paint down and it would create the color of the opponent that they were going to play. Go watch it in the next break. And I'm curious, how many of the colors can you actively predict what the matchup is going to be? Because I ended up finding myself very upset. And I'm like, oh, that's got to be the Lions. Nope, it's the fill in the blank other bluish team. Oh, that's got to be the Texans. Nope, fill in the blank of another team. Like, the only one I got was at the end. I think I ended up getting the Patriots maybe, or the Chargers. I can't remember. But it's like, what are we doing here if I can't even guess this? But that one gave me beef. And then did you see what the Jags did?
I just saw the Cardinal one.
Okay.
And so they're doing a Zoom with all the mascots.
That's what it is? Okay. I just heard people say that one was terrible, so I didn't go watch
That's
it.
That's got to be Lions. That's Titans. Okay. Yeah, to your point, you're right. They're mixing colors and then dropping the color mixes
the color down
and it's into like, what the team color is.
And I got frustrated watching it, and I'm like,
that's Packers.
Right? Thank you. And I'm like yelling at my screen. That was the first one. I'm like, that's got to be Broncos, and it's
Colts.
Green Bay.
That's Lions. Okay. So far, I'm 0-3.
See my point? Hold on. I think I only got one right the entire video. And it made me
Raiders?
Angrier as it went on.
Bears. What about Bears?
Exactly. It's a creative theory.
I got to admit, it's kind of like got me locked in because yes. I like seeing them paint thing.
Yes.
The Browns?
The
How
sound
is that the Browns? It's the, not even the other, no. or like an orange.
No. The sound effect is fun, too, because they do like the
This is better than the Cardinal one.
That's, yes, I'll grant you that.
The Cardinals just doing a Zoom with the mascots and like a side chat. Like, dude, I don't want to think about work, and you're doing a work Zoom.
Yeah, I don't want
to. I'm out on that one.
The Jags, if you didn't see it, was just essentially Trevor Lawrence getting a haircut.
Like, what?
He just got a haircut. He just cut his
hair. He cut off the locks?
I don't know if they did it jokingly for the video or if he actually got a haircut, but he basically has like a perm at the end of it, and it's just as the hair is falling to the ground, they're putting up games on the screen. I was like, that's all you could come up? Like,
interesting.
Some of them go too far. This one, like, that's way too
Yeah,
simple.
I think the Charger one, if you're doing like a Halo video game, you're spending a decent amount of money on that. That's not something you're getting done. But also, I don't play Halo.
I never did either.
So I don't really understand a lot of maybe the little Easter egg things they're dropping about the game mixed with the NFL.
They take shots at the other. Like, the Chargers have no cares, no Fs, if you will. Like, they blew up Bo Nix's ankle. They were the only ones, to my knowledge, that joked about the Vrabel-Rossini incident.
I heard it. I didn't catch that.
So again, this is the this you got to go like dig into the weeds on this, which nobody's going to do. Yeah. But then people will screen grab it. When they were playing the Patriots, there was a thing about you have a message waiting from the New York Post or something along those lines, or pictures from the New York Post.
I did like in the Patriot one for the Chargers, they showed that it was their next opponent, and they were showing their schedule, and it said like regular season cupcakes.
Yeah,
and then it got to the wild card, and it like cut out and was like, nothing to see here, yeah, nothing to see
right.
here.
We didn't lose this game.
And then it went to the divisional round and on and on and on.
Crash and burn before you get to
yeah,
the Super Bowl.
So that I thought that was kind of funny. But, okay, so here is, well, you got to play this.
Oh,
he
okay.
just randomly decided to leave.
Okay, what am I playing here?
We uploaded the first 24 seconds. If you missed it, here is the intro to the Seattle Seahawks schedule release.
How do you capture the essence of a winner? Study the plays, watch the tapes. Crunch the numbers. No, the only way to capture the essence of a winner is with a fragrance. Wake up. Emotion. Power. Lombardi.
Lombardi. That one was pretty good. I had not seen that one until today. There's too many of them, and they're too long. Like, I sat around last night trying to catch up on as many of them, because I knew we were going to talk about this today.
Yeah.
And I get through, like, seven of them. I'm like, dude, it's been 45 minutes, man. Like, Atlanta's was, like, Harley, shout out to
P1. Atlanta's was good. It kind of went to the
They did a This Is Sports Center, like, yeah. And it's Matt Ryan having a hard time adjusting to non-playing life, and he's, like, yelling at guys in a meeting. The Wi-Fi password is, you know, Jet Right, Z Motion, XY Flip. You know, he's got this long, like, that one was pretty good, but it was like 6.5 minutes long, man. Cut these things down a little
bit. So I'm trying to see, I'm kind of going through teams. So the Broncos leaned into Manning.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the Broncos.
So he comes into his living room, and I think this is a daughter.
Mm.
Basically, like, what are you watching type deal? And now I think they're going to end up going through the schedule some way. So, like, that's the cool thing. I still, to my dying day, I'm always going to find it so fascinating how in on the Broncos he is and how not Colts-related he is in almost every way of his life at this
point. It's very funny. They turned their back on him when he needed neck surgery, and he said, see you later, alligator. Are you ready, by the way, for the next Manning mania?
Is that not odd to you?
It's a little weird.
Can we not have some context of, like, dude, nobody thought you were going to play anymore. That wasn't just Colts related.
Yeah, is it?
The Niners tried because they needed a quarterback.
Yeah, and then Harbaugh threw the ball too hard.
The Broncos didn't have anything post Elway.
No, they had nothing.
And yeah, it kind of blew up in the Colts' face, and you won a Super Bowl. Like,
well, they landed Andrew Luck out of it. They ended up being fine.
Also, I'm just saying, like, he's pretty anti. He's not like anti Colts, but like,
he doesn't have anything to do with them. He's around Denver all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he lives in Denver full time, which I don't blame you. Live in Denver over Indy all day, but
sure, Denver's a beautiful city.
It's just fascinating to me how, like, so Bronco he is, and how not Colt related he is.
Is it? And I don't know if the athletes are on the same level in terms of, like, all time great status. It's got a Clyde vibe to it.
That's a great comp.
Like, Clyde was here forever, accomplished the majority of the things in his career.
But it's all rockets for him.
It's a little bit different because he's a Houston guy. So he went back home. It's where he went to college and all that.
He's got Knicks. So they're watching TV, basically, and the commercials and everything on it is an opponent.
Mm.
So Knicks, for example, is the old Elway Vortex commercial. He's trying to throw the ball 100 yards.
That's pretty funny. I like that. Have you seen, by the way, the highlights of his kid? We have another
Manning. Oh, the next Manning?
Peyton's kid?
Yeah, he's tearing it up in like eighth grade, right?
Absolute dead ringer
unit
for his dad.
Yeah.
Like every motion, every play fake, every, like, I've seen highlights of
him. They're talking about
his
size.
Built,
he's
yeah.
huge. Yeah.
He's a well-built younger, like, the Manning family is going to dominate quarterback play for our entire lifetimes.
How many Manning quarterbacks will we get in the NFL post the Peyton, Eli?
Does Eli have any kids?
Yeah, he's got
a couple.
I know he has a son.
Okay. Well, that kid's going to go. We're going to have Arch in there. I think Peyton's kid is Marshall. Is it Marshall? Manning?
I think so, but he's being heavily recruited in eighth grade.
Yeah.
So, like, that's going to happen.
I mean, we're getting at least three more in the NFL. At the bare minimum, three more. Our lifetimes, then you have to think about Arch's kids.
Well, we're starting to get all the names, right? Like, Joey Porter Jr. has been a player for a couple seasons now in the Steelers.
There's a lot of those that throw me off.
Yeah, it happens.
God, I'm old, man.
Randy Moss's kid being tied in on LSU's title team. I was like, man, this is crazy.
And that was in 2019. That was already 7 years ago. He won a national title 7 years ago, man.
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
God, you old balls over there.
One observation from the NFL schedule release I find interesting that's kind of become a little bit of a trend for the NFL, and I'll tell you what that is on the other side. Dirt and Sprague, we roll on 105.1, The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Got a little sidetracked during the commercial break. I want to get to the schedule note that I observed. I want to talk about the Kirk Cousins, Fernando Mendoza, stepbrothers lean-in.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah, Swag didn't. He couldn't pick up what they were doing. He thought it was very odd. And then I told him, and he was like, "Oh,
now it
makes sense." I haven't honed in on that particular movie the way I have some other Will Ferrell, like old school.
Sure, yeah.
I'm shocked. That one. That's my favorite Will Ferrell movie.
That's your number one, huh?
Step Brothers.
I mean, it's not a bad take because it's a great movie.
I still laugh so hard. Yeah.
Talladega Nights.
That's yours?
Pretty much that and
old
school.
He went on a run there for a while.
That and old school for me. And I don't, Step Brothers was funny. I don't discount. I'm not here to poo-poo Step Brothers.
Sure.
I just haven't. consumed it like.
See, he's not. He's in internal, old school, but like I don't view that as necessarily the same as a Will Ferrell movie.
No, it was not quite because you had Vaughn and Wilson and all those dudes.
Yeah, he wasn't necessarily the main guy in the movie.
Right, now, Talladega Nights, it was him and John C. Reilly, and that was the...
Him and John C. Reilly in anything, and I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hell of a tandem, man.
I just haven't internalized that movie the way I have a few other Will Ferrell movies.
I mentioned how my daughter hates how much she is like me when I pointed out she... The one thing she will not be ashamed of is how much she loves watching that movie. When she watched the first time, and I'm like, are you laughing? And she's like, this is hilarious. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's a great movie.
We used to make great comedy movies in this country. What the hell happened?
I got sidetracked. So have you seen what's happening in Atlanta?
No.
No.
It's not great, Bob.
Uh-oh.
Have you ever taken or been in a Waymo?
Oh, I did see this story. I have not, but I did see this story yesterday.
You have a self-driving Uber type car?
Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't there yet.
So it's been around for a hot couple years.
Yeah, the only place I've seen them all over the place is the Bay Area.
Right. So they've been around, but they're starting to infiltrate different cities. They've infiltrated Atlanta, and citizens in a particular neighborhood in a sector of their metropolitan area have had to call authorities because these Waymos are circling roundabouts for hours with nobody in them.
This blew my mind yesterday.
And it's in a neighborhood where kids are walking, people are walking their
pets.
It's just
like a normal residential neighborhood. Regular, it's not a busy downtown area.
And it's just a roundabout, and you can go find videos. And the Waymos are just circling the roundabouts, and people are like, there's nobody in these cars.
No.
So they're calling and complaining that these cars are just disrupting the whole neighborhood with no passengers in them.
Because they don't just stand parked. They drive around town, and that's for some reason they go into that neighborhood.
And the reason I bring this up is Waymo, welcome to Portland, Oregon.
They're coming to Portland.
Oh, yeah. They're testing the fleet out, and they're going to start rolling these out in Portland. So get ready to randomly run in downtown.
God, it's terrifying
to me. And get hit by a Waymo robot car. Right.
I get that the technology is safe, and there's, you know, just the idea of jumping in a driverless car to take you home.
Does driving
just
in downtown make you feel better about it than, like, if you had to go on an interstate at any one point?
Yeah, but then there's a lot of stops and people at crosswalks, and I know that it's just weird
like,
for me, dude.
Stop!
It's weird for me, dude. Did you watch the whole news video of this?
Yeah.
So they're going in the roundabouts and they won't stop. And these neighbors are like, get these cars out of our neighborhood. So what did they do? They put up those little, the yellow kid cone things with the flag, like slow down. There's kids in this neighborhood. And they put a couple up to block their neighborhood off to keep them from coming in. And they all just jam up.
Yeah.
There's like 15 of these things that are just like jammed next to each other, blocking the road, all moving 1 inch at a time because the computers are censoring the other cars and they can't figure out how to get out of there.
Somebody had when L.A.
This is how it starts, by the way. This is the robot takeover. This is how it begins.
The Waymo?
The Waymo is taking us out.
No, dude.
These things are going to get their own thinking, their own critical thinking, and just start running us over on the open highway.
I think it's the other things that are the takeover, not the cars.
They're all working together. No. They're all simpatico.
In the robot community, the cars are the caveman dumb buff guy.
Until they start driving 90 miles an hour into people crossing the street.
Yeah, but they're still going to be listening to the overlord robot, and they're going to be like, what you want us to do? Okay. And then they're going to drive over people.
They're the mercenaries of the group.
Mercenaries, for sure, dude. They're the stupid trolls in Lord of the Rings.
They're the orcs. Yeah.
And they get shot with all the arrows.
Still going, though. They're still going. They're still running.
Somebody had a really good photo of the Waymos during those, I forget what they were protesting. It was ICE in L.A. when they had the little things going on in little pockets of L.A. And someone was like, is this the most dystopian image of all time? And it was a Waymo on fire and a guy behind him waving the American flag. It was like, my Lord.
Yeah, brother! Death to the robots.
Yeah, I think most people would disagree with you, though. I think a lot of people out there, including our listeners, are going to be jumping all over these Waymos and tell you how wrong you are.
I've only been in one Uber before that was a Tesla. The only time I've ever driven in a self-driving car.
And been in one. I haven't been
in one. So there was a driver, but he turned it off. Like, he unplugged.
Oh, he just sat there, basically.
I'm like, what am I paying you for, dude? Like, you're just sitting here playing on your phone.
I mean,
I'm on 84 right now going, you're changing lanes? The robot's changing lanes for you?
I don't know.
And you're playing on your phone?
Quickly, like, I'm going to adopt that piece of technology.
I will do this. I don't know about him. I don't know about Dirt. What I would say, though, is I would lay a couple units that guy over there is absolutely
hammered
gonna score Timbers tickets
yeah.
this summer and stay here
Waymu
and get hammered and Waymu his ass over to the game yeah. and back from the game.
Now, the one benefit I did see, if you are out for a night on the town, there was a video that went viral earlier this week of somebody getting a ride home from the bar in one of these things and just vomiting all over the outside of the car. And it was the point of, you know, if you do that in somebody's Uber, you're in trouble. They're making you clean that thing up. But
oh, there's a cleaning fee that you have to pay. Yeah, for sure.
Nobody in that car. Could have been anybody. And it was a car
well,
driving.
There's cameras all
so
over
So there was
these
somebody
things.
Filming him driving next to them on the road, and it's this guy you could just see his like, head's bobbing
hammered.
And his head's out the window, and yeah. there's just this brown trail down the side of the passenger door. Like, all right, thanks, Waymo. See you later.
Do you feel more or less confident in a Waymo versus like our Max? What are you more scared in?
That's a good question.
Right now, people don't want to get off at the 42nd exit.
That's a really good question.
You know what I mean?
Probably safe for an away move.
Yeah.
I've also, like, should be noted, been in some really bad Ubers over the years. Like, you get ones that smell. You get a guy that you just, there's uncomfortable vibes.
What's worse?
I understand the benefit of not having to, like, I get why people will be attracted to that.
Do you ever leave notes on Ubers when they come to pick you up? Or
I
lifts,
never
like,
do anything.
Yeah.
I never rate. I never do. I don't
oh,
touch
really?
It. No.
I'll rate if I'm not, like, my dealership that I used to go to, like, they'll call a Lyft.
Sure.
Because I don't want to wait
come
for hours.
Come pick you up. Yeah, they give you a free Lyft ride home.
I don't get to really rate through that because they're the ones booking it, not me. But if I book a Lyft or Uber in another city, yeah, I rate it every time.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I should. Either people rate me.
Taking Ubers when I was in El Paso, and I'm like, I'm not from here, so everybody's getting 5 stars, tipped everybody.
Hey,
like,
there you go.
Did they all deserve the five stars?
Yeah, I think so. I never had any issue with it. Some were more talkative than others, but everybody was right on time. Everything was ready to go. Car was clean.
I've taken a lot of Ubers and Lyfts in my life. I'm trying to think of the worst experience I've had.
I went to a friend's wedding probably 4 or 5 years ago, I remember, and we took an Uber because we were going to have a night out in the town.
Yeah.
And I remember getting into a guy's van that had not looked like it had been cleaned in God knows how long.
That's tough.
Smelled like cat pee.
Oh.
He basically, he was
probably
a
lived in
heavier him. Dude, looked like he was wearing basically underwear in the driver's seat, and I just thought, like, this is gross. Get me out
Did
of here.
You rate it?
And I was in a suit, too, because we're going a little,
Did
or maybe not
it?
Suit, but I was dressed nicely.
Yeah.
No, I don't rate negatively or positively. I'm not a review guy. I don't do it either way.
I think I'm going to be the honest person in that situation and say, not a really clean car, didn't smell great.
This guy's terrible. Get rid of him now.
You know.
He's trying to talk to me the entire time. I'm just weirded out.
The problem is when I went to Mexico in 8th grade, I still have not had any experience close to what a Mexican taxi cab experience was like.
Yeah.
90 miles an hour down a regular road, weaving in and out, no seatbelt. I'm like, what's happening here, man?
This is not safe in any way, shape, or form.
I didn't get to my observation from the NFL schedule that has become a little bit of a weird trend. And then also the Step Brothers part of the Raiders schedule announcement. The Waymu thing completely distracted me during the commercial break.
Yeah, it'll do it. Those videos are wild.
A loaded third hour and fourth hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105. One, the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.